Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The 39th president of the United States has entered hospice care. CBS's Adriana Diaz reports.
Former President Jimmy Carter has decided against any further medical treatment and entered home hospice care. Mr. Carter is 98 years old. His decision follows a series of short hospital stays. This weekend, several family members have gathered at the Carter home in Plains, Georgia.
Carter's been a face of Habitat for Humanity since the 80s. CEO Karen Haycox.
He would ask you to care for your community. He would ask you what you might do to help your neighbor.
Habitat in New York City says they're praying for peace, strength, and comfort for the Carters in the days ahead. A train carrying toxic chemicals derailed in Ohio over 2 weeks ago, and some residents aren't feeling well now. Correspondent Christiane Benavides reports.
Locals are finding apparent signs of toxic chemical spill throughout town.
The whole creek just became that rainbow oil film. And I'm like, oh my, this is a lot worse than what, you know, they're telling us.
People in the community have complained of lingering headaches, scratchy throats, and burning eyes since the incident.
Officials say the air and water have been tested and are safe. The Russian war in Ukraine started almost a year ago. Outside the Munich Security Conference yesterday, more than 500 activists protested against supplying Ukraine with more weapons.
They do not talk much about peace, just about more weapons.
They also called out the U.S. and NATO for escalating the conflict. North Korea launched another intercontinental ballistic missile. BBC correspondent Jean McKenzie says it's a warning to the U.S.
It's warning the U.S. not to hold large-scale military exercises with South Korea, due to begin next month. The countries say these drills are defensive, but North Korea interprets them as its enemies preparing to invade.
The vaccine technology used to fight COVID could also soon be used to treat other viruses. Scott Maiman with more.
mRNA has been the staple in fighting COVID-19. The Australian Development Director, Tim Mercer, says researchers found there are greater uses.
And we're starting to think, you know, maybe mRNA provides an additional tool, an additional strategy.
And that strategy is to treat cystic fibrosis. They also want to go further by developing a melanoma jab.
So President's Day is tomorrow. How did George Washington's birthday turn into a big shopping event?
Any holiday has turned into a shopping holiday.
That's CNET's Ian Schur. But why all the mattress ads?
Honestly, I think they don't have as much competition during this time.
So if you need one, he says you'll likely get a good deal. Also good deals tomorrow on TVs. So if you need one of those, go grab it. This is CBS News.
I'm Martin Hoke, the inventor of Navage Nasal Care, and I love Navage. I've told you about how your nose is the body's air filter, that Navage's powered suction will help flush out allergens, viruses, mucus, and germs, and that Navage will help you breathe better. But what do other people say about Navage? Like Tara, quote, "My doctor wanted me to do saline rinses for my allergies, but I've never been able to successfully use a neti pot. Navage uses suction power, so it's foolproof. There are nights when I'll have particularly bothersome allergies. I'll bust it out, and the results are immediate. It's such a relief. It's become a lifesaver." Unquote. She's one of over 100,000 online reviews praising Navage, the all-natural solution trusted by over 3 million people to help you breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and stay healthier without drugs. Navage is available at Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Target, Rite Aid, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E, clean nose, healthy life.
The Daytona 500.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player
and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle.
but MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows dip down to about 20. Cloudy skies tomorrow, snow likely, high temperatures reach up to 39. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow through Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we're here with Suzanne White from The Caregiver Warrior and author of a new book called Self-Care for Caregivers. On her website, she states, "I believe caregivers are warriors, fearless, courageous, and passionate about protecting those they care for." What a great title for your company. What a great title for your book. And it's clear you're going to have some really great insights to share with us today. So welcome, Suzanne. Could you introduce yourself a little bit and give us some perspective on your personal background as a caregiver?
I will indeed. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story and hopefully some insights that I have for everybody. I came to caregiving, like most of us, rather quickly. My World War II hero bombardier pilot dad had to be taken off an airplane because they were flying my parents down to Florida for the holidays. And he was so exhausted and so sick on the plane, they had to take him out in a wheelchair. Second time he was carried off a plane, in his life. So he had caregiver burnout. He was had walking pneumonia. He was starting to have some heart issues. And it was because my mom was showing signs of early dementia. And they had been working together as a team to hide it from us. As you know, sometimes they do. And I think he was trying to compensate so much that he just got really tired and sick. So, we all kind of got together and I said to my dad, you know, Pop, you need help. Can I help you? And he said, yes, really fast. Yes. I was like, okay. And there we were. We were off and running. Being a perfectionist and a control freak, type A personality, I thought I had it all covered.
Easy to say, right?
Yes.
So that's your personal background.
Yes. And it appears that writing and speaking are your main avenues on how you support caregivers that you work with. Can you tell us about a little bit more what called you to do that work?
Yes, absolutely. I kind of think, the universe sort of pushed me in a direction. I would often talk to caregivers because I did something really smart in the beginning, which I suggest everybody does. I got a tribe around me.
Okay.
A tribe of caregivers around me. I was lucky. I was blessed. You know, I found a lot of caregivers that I could talk to, and I took advantage of that. And the thing everybody kept saying was, oh my God, they don't tell you this. Like, there's just so much they don't tell you. You know, so I thought, well, and I agreed because, like, I wasn't reading anything. Thank God I had them, you know. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna tell people about this, you know. I've been a singer-songwriter. I wrote lyrics. I dabbled in writing. And I just sort of kind of kept notes and kept a journal. And, you know, just before I knew it, I figured, you know, I'll do a blog and, you know, just sort of built up. And the next thing I knew, I was doing it all the time. I was writing all the time. People were getting in touch with me. I came up with the name Caregiver Warrior, and we were just off and running.
That's great. Are you still caregiving for your parents?
I am not. I lost both of them.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Within 7 weeks of each other. Thank you so much. Within 7 weeks of each other. I mean, they had a bond.
Yeah, they did. Which explains.
Very interesting time.
Well, and it explains why your dad got so burnt out himself in caring for your mom, that there was such that, you know, interconnection of caregiving, but then burnout and then their own health. So it sounds like you were able to, though, put together some people to help you learn about this role that you kind of fell into, but then took over, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And just to share stories. I mean, you know, I mean, I think we just held each other up. You know, I mean, I was in the beginning, I was doing a lot of commuting because I was in New York and they were in South Jersey. Okay. Where I grew up, and I'd be on the highway, you know, I'd work all week and I'd be on the highway, you know. So I had one friend, Diana, who had taken care of her dad with Alzheimer's, and we would just, like, I would just, like, rant and rave, you mm-hmm. know, and I would just sort of, you know, and she, well, I did this, and oh my God, yeah, I remember that, you know, and just sharing our stories was invaluable. I mean, I found that so, so invaluable, and I just wanted to do it, you know, for myself, for everyone else. And I, you know, it was a little weird in the beginning because I did not get along with my mom. So, and if anyone who knows me, like, I'm pretty a straight shooter. I pretty much say what I mean what I say, and hopefully don't say it mean. And I was a little concerned with some of the content that I was writing, but I got over it, and I found out that people really related to my authenticity. You know, that I was making mistakes all the time, and that I was angry, and that I was frustrated, and that my mom is driving me crazy, and I had guilt, and, you know. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I wanted to talk about, because that's what I needed to hear.
That's wonderful. And that's such an excellent point, and something that I kind of think about, too, and talk about not having any resources to prepare you for, is the fact that I can't say that my mom and I have the best relationship. So I worry about when that day comes, you know, what is that going to look like? So that's probably a whole nother conversation and something we can do another show on. But I like how you said you found your tribe. And I'm just curious, we probably didn't share, but Kristen and I have adult children with disabilities. So, you know, they were in therapies and groups since they were very little, so a lot of parents, you know, naturally came together and get to know each other. When you're dealing with in a situation where you're caring for an adult, how do you find that tribe?
You know, first of all, you have to be proactive about it. You know, you can't take no for an answer. You have to dig around. I personally was, because of my age, I think, and the age group of my parents, you know, a lot of my friends were just they were caregivers. I mean, we all sort of fell into it. So, you know, I think just opening up the conversation with people. I mean, but I would talk to people in the grocery store. Like, I would say, you know, like, I was proactive. I was like, I'm taking care of my parents, you know. And they go, I am too, you know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, just really constantly putting myself out there. Like, you know, like dating, you know what I mean? You just got to keep kind of do it. And I also, my one friend had found the Alzheimer's Association really invaluable when she, in Poughkeepsie, she was taking care of her dad. And they were so good to her. I mean, she would call the one lady and just talk, you know, and they would hook her up with other people and other groups and whatever. So, you know, church groups, I mean, you know, you just have to, you have to take care of yourself. So you need to find people that understand you.
I love that you're describing being authentic over the vegetable aisle, right? And so, I mean, that's what it takes is, yeah, looking at people and how are you? And, well, I'm actually not doing that great. Yeah, I'm taking care of my mom and she's asked me 6 times today where the grapes are, right? And it's like, what can you do except connect with other people who can relate to that? So I'm more curious about digging into some of your aspects of writing before we have to go to our break because I'm not a writer and I really admire people that are writers. And you stated that you kind of fell into it because you've been a songwriter, but I'm curious about which aspects of writing do you enjoy the most?
Just letting loose. You know what I mean? Just doing it. And I think that's the greatest gift. I mean, everyone, not everyone does it easily, but I'm really lucky because I do it easily. But there are times when I just write. I mean, sometimes it's not even great stuff. But I find when once I get going, all kinds of stuff comes up that I didn't expect to write.
Okay.
And therein lies the joy about it.
I'm sure it's very therapeutic, or can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the intro came from your website that we read earlier. It's really interesting how you describe the caregiver as a warrior. And I love that. I actually got a ring that's engraved that says Fearless Warrior on it. So that's right up my alley. But what made you choose that description?
Well, my dad was a warrior, you know, he was in the service, you know, and I mean, just his loyalty and his commitment, and, you know, his intensity about it, and he did it from the heart. And I just thought, you know, that's what we do. We go to battle every day, you know, we battle the healthcare system, we battle doctors and nurses, you know, we're battling medical crises, we're battling the pharmacist. I mean, you know, it's a constant challenge, and you really have to lift your sword up, you know. I mean, you know, the strength and the courage that caregivers have to and come up with on a daily basis, I just think is very, very similar to fighting for freedom.
Oh, interesting parallel. I like that, fighting for freedom. So tell us a little bit more about your dad's background. You mentioned it quickly.
My dad was a bombardier pilot. He was a pilot and flew missions over Germany.
Oh, wow. Okay, so World War II.
Yeah. And World War II, shot down, landed the plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, amazing. He had scars from his ankles to his butt.
Oh, wow. From the plane crashing down.
And my mom took care. Yes, and my mom took care of him.
Oh. That's what I was going to ask. When he came back,
yes.
Did she have to take on that caregiver role?
She took on that role, and she actually said to me when she lost her first fiancé in a flying maneuver, World War II.
Wow.
So she said that they actually fell in love, my mom and dad, over the pain and grief of war.
Mm. Wow.
Give me the chills.
I know, me too. Well, and it just makes sense why that's kind of permeating through your storyline and then becomes something that you want to help identify as your role and then for other caregivers as well. Interesting. And so with the caregiver warrior concept, can you speak just a little bit more about how the business came together? We've got about a minute here.
Well, my dad actually was in advertising, so he always told me to get a catchy name, you know?
Uh-huh.
So once I came up with caregiver warrior, I'm going to tell you, the universe kind of, you know, took it on. So there we were.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a short break here and come back and hear a little bit more about how the universe has directed you to us. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Snuggle up to a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting just for you. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Club Forest Bar and Restaurant and the Southwood County Humane Society. Club Forest Bar is proudly family-owned and operated since 1927, serving our char-grilled burgers, specialty sandwiches, and pizzas. Great for the whole family.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
The Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Suzanne White from the Caregiver Warrior. Her mission is to share caregiving wisdom from someone who's been there, sharing approaches, actions, and attitudes that worked for her and she believes can work for you. Suzanne, before we dig into the meat of your suggestions, because it sounds like from your story you've got a lot to share, right? But I was wondering, when you are giving your messages, whether it's through your blog or your book or your speaking engagements, excuse me, somebody can't speak here. That's why I'm not doing the speaking engagements, right? But do you divide things as the approach, the action, and the attitude, or do you kind of put it all together in a more general sense when you're giving messages and suggestions?
I think it's a more general approach. However, my whole wheelhouse or my whole take on all of this is self-awareness. In other words, I think self-awareness for the caregiver is really important. In other words, I feel that we have to be very careful about what motivates us and what's going on with us. So any tips or tricks or strategies for me have to come from your mindset. And I think that caregivers need to be really, really careful about what they're going through when they're caring for others. And in my particular case, it was, you know, it was for my family. I had family members, and especially with my mom, and I had to really clock what was happening with me, with the baggage and the history I had with her. So my whole take on how are you doing, caregiver, is what are you feeling, caregiver? And I think then the conversation can go from there. Because, you know, quite often we don't think about what we're thinking about or feeling, even physically, you know, or your shoulders, you know, I mean, what's going on with us? It's not something we pay attention to.
That makes sense. And, you know, self-care means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And then we always kind of roll our eyes with the whole bubble bath and go get a manicure and pedicure and that nice stuff. But doesn't always
It doesn't take you the full mile.
Right. So when you're saying self-care, it's more about going inward in learning how to support yourself and discover yourself in your needs. Am I understanding that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, and you can have the other stuff at your disposal. In other words, my latest book, The Self-Care for Caregivers, has stuff in that about, you know, when you're shopping for Pampers, you know, like adult diapers, you know, or Depends, you know, make a stop at the bath body gel counter for yourself and throw that in the basket. But having said that, you need to know when you need to pull those tools out. In other words, if you're just plowing through and not paying attention to the fact that, you know, you have a splitting headache, you know, or you're nauseous, or, you know, you're up here with your nervous system, you're going to hit the wall. So, I mean, we're all going to have caregiver burnout. It just, you know, stop the caregiver. No, we're all going to have burnout. Do you want to hit the wall at 20 miles an hour, or you going to hit the wall at 150 miles an hour? That's what I want to discuss. And only if you're self-aware or you're aware of what you're going through, can you then say, whoa, you know, halt, you know, my hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, what do I need to do? Do I need to eat something? You know, do I need to like scream in the closet or anything? You know, but be aware, like not, don't wait until it's too late. So yeah, my whole thing is like, really check out, you know, who you are and what's happening.
This is really resonating with me because I'm thinking about some of the times that in caregiving for Nicole. She's my daughter with special needs. She's 21 and has autism, epilepsy, and an intellectual disability. So the complexity turns medical, emotional, cognitive, all this stuff, right? And for a long time, I was running at 150 miles an hour. And I was like this and up. And I did crash into the wall. And it was bad. It was a bad panic attack. And that's so... I don't ever want to be there again. And so I'm so glad that you're describing it as, of course we're going to burn out. Of course we're going to break down, but let's do it at 20 miles per hour, which is where I think I am now with a lot of the work I've done, which has been around exactly what you're talking about. How do I tap into how I'm feeling so that when I do want to scream, I'm not screaming at Nicole while I'm also doing six other things and then just escalating her, right? I need to go step outside or, you know, wherever I need to go in a closet and just get that out. And I really, really appreciate that metaphor, that vision. I'm visualizing myself slamming into a wall at 150 miles an hour and now at 20 miles an hour. And I'm like, yeah, that is a little bit more comfortable. So I think I'm going to keep doing this self-awareness stuff.
So is self-awareness the...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say that what I find really interesting is I'm sure you're so aware of her triggers, right?
Yes.
I mean, right? You can... spot one of her triggers from like a mile away. I want us to pay attention to our triggers when we can also. Do you know what I mean? It's like I didn't know what my triggers were, you know, but I knew what my parents' triggers were. Do you know what I'm saying?
Excellent.
So,
yes.
I mean, yeah.
That is an excellent point. I have a dog that's dog aggressive and she requires long walks. So I am always on the lookout in every direction. You know, where is there a dog? How is this going to go? And never aware of myself, you know, what's going on. And sometimes I will stop and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am panicking. I am stressed walking this dog. I need to dial it back a minute for myself because she can feel that too. But not that we're here to talk about dogs, but in getting the sense then, is that the underlining theme of your book, creating the self-awareness? Or can you tell us a little bit more about the book?
Absolutely. There's four areas of what I consider concerns for caregivers, you know, emotional, spiritual, soul, physical, and even the practical side. So I've come up with 140 tips in those four areas. And it's basically things that I used or that helped me become more aware of myself. And then perhaps when I was really right before I went knee deep into stress, you know, stressors that, you know, things that I could do to soothe myself, you know, everything from, you know, screaming, you know, mm-hmm. in the car, you know, I had a friend who would scream in the car when she was driving home, and it's great. 'Cause you know, nobody hears you.
Exactly.
You know? Right, exactly. And, you know, just things that we can do to get us back in our bodies and our souls and to really pay attention to our emotions. You know, and again, we're back to triggers with what, no matter what being it is, we all have triggers, you know, and we all have triggers. Some of them are old triggers. Some of them are trauma triggers from... you know, childhood. So we need to figure out what those triggers are, be aware of them, and then, you know, do stuff to go, you know, navigate through them.
Right, exactly. Well, before we go to this break, I do want to encourage people to visit your website to read more about the book that's coming out and the ebook that you offer free. Your website is www.caregiverwarrior.com, and that's where they can also see some examples of your blog and what an amazing writer you are. We'll be right back after this short break to talk more with Suzanne from Caregiver Warrior. We'll be right back.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Answer true or false. Radon is a radioactive gas. True.
I didn't know that, no.
True or false. The Office of the Surgeon General recommends that all homes be tested for radon. True, your home should be tested. True or false, radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. True.
I'm gonna dial the number and call.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Keep your family safe from radon. Call now.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows dip down to about 20. Cloudy skies tomorrow, snow likely, high temperatures reach up to 39. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow through Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Welcome Welcome back. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen, and we've been speaking with our guest, Suzanne White, who's been talking about her business Caregiver Warrior and her book that will be releasing soon. Can you tell listeners where they can find the book and when it comes out?
Yes, absolutely. It's Self-Care for Caregivers. It's going to come out September 6th. You can pre-order it from my website now. And I'm very excited about it. And you guys will find this a little bit interesting. They found me. They came to me to write this book, Adams Media. And they found me through Instagram.
Oh, wow.
They were reading my Instagram posts for Caregiver Warrior. And they felt that this is something that they would like to put in a book form. And it's been great. They've been wonderful. September 6th.
Who are they?
It's Adams Media, and they're a division of Simon & Schuster.
Oh, awesome.
Congratulations. Well, that's such a good sign of what a good writer you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no one has asked me to write a book.
Exactly. None of my posts or comments or quick wit gets me approached
that's
by
really funny. Well, it's a really good format for me because it's short. You know,
sure.
It's like not a tweet. So, you know,
right.
But it's not like a blog,
right.
You know, which is 300 words. It's sort of like, yeah.
Well,
so it's perfect for me. I really love it.
Right. As a former songwriter, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's like a chorus.
So in this next segment, we like to ask what we call more powerful questions. They're just questions that kind of push you to go inward and reflect on some of your personal experiences and thoughts. So I'm going to start out with my first one, which is I feel that gratitude is such a big part of self-care. What are you grateful for about this experience?
Well, I have a lot of gratitude about this experience. I always say it was the hardest and best thing I ever did. I healed my relationship with my mom. And when I tell you that we did not get along, I'm telling you we did not get along. I mean, we are both really similar. We're both very strong personalities, very big. I take after her so much. And we always had to have the last word. And, you know, it was bad. It was really bad. And as she and the last person in the universe she wanted taking care of her was me. She didn't want anybody taking care of her. She ruled the roost, you know what I mean? So not only did it heal my relationship, but it made me a better me because she wasn't going to change. I had to. So I finally got it. But I had to make some changes in the way I was acting and the way I was living my life.
Well, that's interesting. And it leads maybe into my question, which is about resentment, right? So a lot of times the caregiver has resentment for the person they're taking care of. And it sounds like you even came in with some resentment from the past. Excuse me. So how did you handle that resentment?
It wasn't pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't easy. And I had a lot of resentment. I had a lot of anger. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of work for me to look in the mirror, and really question why I was triggered, why I couldn't forgive, why I was so angry, why I was so scared. I mean, and it wasn't overnight. I mean, I had to really work at it on a daily basis. But I was able to see her. It was a specific time. I came around the corner and we had a big calendar, as I'm sure you guys know, a big calendar with the notes in it so everybody can read it and they know where everything is and the appointments. And here was my self-assured, controlling mother pointing to a date, and she just couldn't connect what it was. She couldn't understand what was written there.
Oh.
And the look on her face and the panic in her, it just, you know, it smacked me, you know, it just hit me so hard. And I said, you know, if this was a stranger, you would be so kind to this person. It's not a stranger, it's your mother. And that opened the door for empathy and compassion for her. And like I said, it wasn't overnight, but it just shifted things for me. And I was able to start to see her as a person and someone I loved. I love her. I loved her dearly. But it just, you know, it was time to let go of all the old crapola.
Yeah.
Like, what was that doing for me? You know, I mean, she didn't care. She was getting dementia. You know, I mean, it was So I had a, you know, I was, I really looked deeply inside of myself and made some changes in my tone of voice. I made changes in what I said to her, how I said it to her, when I said it to her. Did I need to say it to her? I started some new behavior.
Wow. I'm curious, was that all just personal self-discovery? And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Or did you have support or help along the way, you know, going through those emotions?
Right. And I will always answer and questions. I love questions like these. I'm sober 35 years.
Congratulations.
So I was way sober by that time. Thank you very much. And I'm very much into 12-step programs. And I have been doing work in therapy, and I had an amazing therapist at the time I was caring for my parents. I did everything I possibly could to pile on the self-work. And I have a degree in psychology. I have a BA in psychology. So I'm a big self-help, self-work, spiritual kind of person, and will take the help any way I could get it. And I needed it. You know, you need support, even if it's just somebody you trust to listen to you. It can be that simple. Somebody who will tell you what they really think. Somebody you trust, obviously. But, you know, you can always say, like, how am I doing? Do you see me doing anything?
But what's also resonating with me is that you truly, at that moment, embodied the messages from the 12-step programs, right? So having done some recovery work as an adult child of an alcoholic, I very much try to fall back on the serenity prayer, right? The courage to change the things I can. Help me out here.
God damn it, serenity.
Right, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom, exactly. That, I just got truth bumps. Mm-hmm. I call the goosebumps the truth bumps, right? That is where I've really, in my caregiver journey, had to spend a lot of time, is in that wisdom piece. And as I was listening to you describe, I saw the visual of your mom, you know, pointing to the calendar, and then you going from this angry, kind of resentful, compassionate place. And it's that whole, that wisdom of what you have control over and what you don't, right? And then knowing that you can't control her, you couldn't change her, but what you could change was the way you were receiving her and the way you were interacting with her. So Suzanne, I mean, that is a big like pat on the back for you that you really, I mean, it's hard to embody that prayer. It's hard to embody the 12 steps and actually put them into action. And so I really say kudos to you.
Yeah. And that kind of goes nicely into my next question is, you know, what are you currently taking the most pride in, either in terms of your caregiving journey or your business or even personal?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. I'm really proud right now that I'm showing up. I'm on a completely different journey in my life now. There's a lot of big changes. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on for me. And I think showing up, I've made a decision to really show up no matter what. In other words, I think that there have been times in my life where self-centered fear has kept me from being my best self, and kind of had me hide maybe, or, you know, even with the best intentions. And I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm really proud of the fact that I'm just sort of showing up, you know, because, you know, this work that we do sometimes, because I really believe that anyone that is doing this work, this empowering caregivers in any way, shape, or form, is really so intentional. And I think that, but sometimes you just feel like you're doing it in a black hole, you know, like that you're not helping anyone, or, you know, because caregivers are silent. You know, it's a silent epidemic. They don't really tell you what they're thinking. And so there's times when I feel like, oh, God, why am I doing this? Because, you know, and then I'd show up anyway. And then I'll get like a tweet from someone who will say, you know, I just you don't know me. I just want to tell you, you know, my mom just died. And I just want you to know that if it weren't for you and your weapons of the day and your tweets, I would have never gotten through it.
Wow.
You know? And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? And so I think it's the self-talk. I think it's how we treat ourselves. I think when I try to be as kind, you know, because I beat myself up all the time. I mean, I'm just as bad now as I was as a caregiver. I mean, you know, I was the most self-critical caregiver in the universe. And I think caregivers do that. So I think as I show up and try to be kind and compassionate to myself first, which is a daily struggle.
Exactly.
Then I think I can maybe help another person. And I think that's kind of what I'm most proud of.
Yeah. And
trying to do that.
It's amazing how much we can get in our own way, you know, and be our own worst enemy, and how doors just open when we do show up and be true to ourselves. So I admire everything you're doing in that aspect. And I'm sure that a lot of the stories that you write about in the blog have that underlining theme as well. And I'm just curious, what are some of your favorite blog posts that you've wrote?
You know, there's one that I did that, you know, about my mom, about how I had to forgive my, I'm not quite sure the title was anymore, but how I had to forgive my old mom, you know, to take care of my new one, you know.
That's beautiful.
That was hard. You know, that was a hard one because I, you know, there's still part of me that is, you know, doesn't want to not out her. I don't mean it like that, but I mean, but you know, that, you know, maybe I feel bad that I tell the story about how we didn't get along and how mean she could be. But I think it helps people. And I think, I'm just getting goosebumps because I know she's really, really happy that I'm doing that, that I'm sharing that. I can feel that from them. It's when I write authentically like that, when I'm able to sort of be really honest about myself, even though it's, you know, it's scary to put yourself out there, that way. But, you know, I always get the most, feedback from caregivers when I'm really honest about, like, how I either screwed up or how much I hated myself when I was doing something or how guilty I felt or, you know what I mean? Or how angry I was. I mean, they're the blogs that I feel the best about.
Yeah. Well, I think you do such an excellent job of being authentic. And I think that's why that resonates with people, because sometimes we don't want to tell people, you know, there's so much shame in our culture. So we pretend, and especially like you said, in the caregiver culture, we're silent and we don't even necessarily even understand we have this role. So when all of a sudden you're feeling all this negative stuff and you don't have any way to vent it, and you read a blog or you see it, it sounds like you send out tweets. Or the message,
yes.
What was it you said somebody gave you feedback on?
I do a weapon of the day every day.
Ooh, a weapon of the day. Tell us about that for just a moment. What's that?
Yeah, it's a weapon of the day. It's actually whatever I'm struggling with during that day and how I feel we can get out of it. So I can't remember this morning, but, you know, weapon of the day will be empathy, or the weapon of the day will be self-kindness, or the weapon of the day will be... the ones I love are like, be as kind to yourself as you are to those you care for. Today was just show up.
Just show up. And you've done that. You've done a fantastic job showing up on this show. And we've got just a little bit more we want to cover with you when we get back from this short break. Thanks, Suzanne.
Jammers Bar & Grill is looking to add to their team. Jammers Bar & Grill has openings for bartenders. They're excited to bring someone new to the Jammers team and are offering good wages with great tips and a friendly atmosphere. Yes, they'd like a little experience, but they're also open to training. Stop into Jammers today to pick up an application and meet some of the team. Jammers Bar & Grill, 2810 Eagle Road, Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You've been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been having a fantastic conversation with Suzanne White about her business, Caregiver Warrior, but also about her own personal journey caring for her parents and other family members. And one of the things she's done in this journey is create a vehicle for her feelings through her writing. She's got a book coming out. She's got a little ebook that you can download from her website, www.caregiverwarrior.com. And she's got a great blog there that I was skimming last night. And then it sounds, I just learned that you do these weapons of the day. And so it's just a great way for us to tap into your experience and your vision. I'm curious about, we were talking about the weapon of the day and we were talking about your blog in general and your favorite article, but the one that caught my eye and I was like, I want to ask her about that. It was titled, "We Are All Just Walking Each Other Home. Don't miss the chance to talk about it." Would you mind giving us the story behind that post a little bit?
Absolutely. And that's a thank you, because I like that one too. I'm constantly, because I'm not caring for my parents now, but I'm constantly seeing things that trigger me or memories or whatever. And I was walking down the street and I saw, you know, an ambulette. You know, we have them here in New York, the ambulette. So, and a gentleman was being lifted into, he was in a wheelchair and he was being lifted into the ambulette. And the driver, the man, and what I was assuming was his friend or partner or wife or whatever, they were all like chattering, like talking to each other. You know, and I said, oh, my God. And it just brought back so many times. At one point, I had dueling wheelchairs. I called them. I had my mom and dad both in wheelchairs.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I, you know, you do stuff. Yeah. And you're like, how do I do that?
Exactly.
But, so, you know, and my mom had her own style, and my dad was a chatterbox. I mean, we were just chatterboxes. And just my dad was such a kind, wonderful, I mean, he just loved everybody. They all loved him. And, you know, we would, and I'm like that too. So we were meeting people and I had so many angels around us. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times people helped us for no reason other than the fact that we just had the kindest, most wonderful angels walking off constantly. I mean, there was always, a bad apple in there, but, you know, I'm good with them.
Yep.
I could take care of them.
Yep,
but,
exactly.
You know, it was just wonderful. So I thought, yeah. So I thought, I love that saying that we're all just walking each other home. And I really believe that. And I think that so often we can get our heads down and we're so stressed, you know, like especially in emergency rooms and in crisis, you know, we're just, that we just forget to look up at that nurse, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
or to look up at that aide or, you know, the security guard
yep.
that's like, holding the door for my dueling wheelchairs, you
right.
know, like there's so, you know, there's people there and we're all just trying to do the best we can and walk each other home. And I just want everybody to remember that we all have stories. And so often, you know, you can talk to people and find out about them and then they become invested in you and you become invested in them. And there's caregiving stories there. Everyone is taking care of someone.
Yes, exactly. And they should be taking care of themselves, right? Like we've just been talking about. So there's a lot of the messages
exactly.
that can resonate. Exactly. I've not heard.
There's just.
Sorry, go ahead.
No.
Right. There's just so much out there. I've not heard that expression. We are all just walking each other home. Does it come from somewhere?
I believe it's, I should know this, but it's a Zen.
Okay.
It's a Zen or Buddhist.
Got it. And so it's something you've heard or read and it was resonating with you. And it's this idea. Let me just check in and make sure this is the teacher in me that I understand, that the idea is that because we are all on this planet in this journey of life together, we're really all just walking each other home to whatever home is. And we need to recognize that the people around us are just like us.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And have wonderful stories and wonderful journeys, you know, and we're on the journey together. So, you know, let's enjoy each other, you know, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. And take care of each other.
Absolutely.
I love that. And that kind of leads it nice into, we like to wrap up each show asking our guests, what are three things that you wish all caregivers knew or that you would like to tell all caregivers?
It's really simple. You can't do it alone.
You should see her face right now, listeners. Yeah. She's looking at us like for that good New York look, like, come on, people. This is basic. You can't do it alone.
You can never do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
No such thing as a perfect anything, especially a caregiver.
Right.
Right? We all have different styles. We all have different ways. And all at once.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I encourage all listeners to go to Suzanne's website, caregiverwarrior.com, and pre-order a copy of her book.
It's coming out September 9th, you said?
September 6th.
Okay, great. All right. Well, we plan to invite you back after you've hit the talk show circuit.
Yes.
Once the book's out and released. Right. And we'll be like, we knew her back when, and we'll bring you back on. All right. Thanks so much, Suzanne. You have a great day. We've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, guys.
So, Liza, wow. What was your greatest takeaway from this?
I just love the reoccurring theme of showing up. Is that how she put it? Or, you know, just being present.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so easy to for your mind to go from the past to the future, the past to the future, and skip over
the present,
the now.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, that's how you were reading the just showing up. I mean, of course it is. It's saying just show up to the now, to the present. But it's funny. I don't know that I even caught that because I'm not in the now enough. Do you know what I mean? I'm such a future tripper that I'm like, where are we going? What's next? You know, what am I paying attention to? But yeah, showing up does really mean living in the now.
Yeah. How about you?
That story about her mom and the calendar. And, you know, I took care of my mom and we were very close and we are very similar. We got along, although one of the things that she said to me, I mean, I thought we got along, but one of the things she said to me once when I was back visiting as an adult was after we'd had a fight. But I, to me, fights weren't bad. Fights were like real and we were getting true emotions out. In a lot of ways, I was pushing my mom to get out of her conventional 1950s, you know, female mindset. And she would encourage me on that. She's like, I learned so much from you. And I'm really impressed by what you get from the University of Wisconsin and all that kind of stuff. But she said to me, oh my God, we could never live together again. And I was like, what? And she said, oh, we fight so much and you drive me crazy. I could never live with you again. And I was like, oh, ouch. Right.
Yeah.
So there is a piece that had this kind of anger and resentment in our relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I had heard Suzanne's story or read some of her stuff while I was taking care of my mom, because I did sometimes show up to the old mom, not to the new mom, the vulnerable mom, the one who was sick, the one who was dying, essentially.
Yeah.
And it did. It took having a conversation with her doctor, her rheumatologist, I think they were called, because she had COPD. And he's like, Kristen, she doesn't need anti-anxiety medication. She's not trying to be difficult. She can't breathe. Her lungs are working at a 40% capacity. Of course she's scared. Of course she's anxious. Of course she's vulnerable. And it was interesting because the doctor had just lost his mom. And so he said, I'm kind of being more of a peer here than a doctor.
Yeah.
But like, let go of the medical stuff and just be there for her and hold her hand. And oh, I'm getting the goosebumps again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, of course. This has nothing to do with all of our angst around antidepressants and whether or not there's, you know, mental illness in our family. It's really just about, here is my mom dying and asking for us to just be there and show up.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, and show up. Be present.
Show up. All right. Well, wow.
Before we leave, I just want to let everyone know who we have coming up in the weeks to come, because we have some super awesome guests coming. We have Harriet Redmond from Wisconsin Sib Shops that support siblings of people that have siblings with disabilities. And then we have marriage therapist Robin Schnitzler coming in to talk about relationships, and a clinical psychologist Barry Jacobs, a writer for the AARP, and Roseanne Corcoran from Daughterhood. So stay tuned for some more great shows of the Empowered Caregiver.
Yeah. This has been a show where we've all been able to show up, and I hope the listeners have gotten that message. We have some great stuff coming up, and we'll look forward to talking with more people with these great conversations.
Yeah. Do we have a
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM. News.